Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with me now is Ray Young, Chief Financial Officer of General Motors. Mr. Young, thanks so much for coming on WNYC.
Thank you for the invitation.
You said a few days ago that General Motors would actually disclose less information about your finances than you used to because you're now a privately held company, no longer owned by shareholders, which is the technical definition of a public company. How can you take tens of billions of taxpayer bailout dollars and then keep more secrets from the public about GM's business?
We will be providing ample disclosure regarding our financial situation public to the public when we become a private company, more so than any other private company. What I indicated is that we will not be filing reports with the Securities and Exchange Commission because we will no longer be traded on the stock exchange. However, when we begin trading in the stock exchange again, which hopefully will be in early 2010, at that time we will provide the normal 10-Ks, 10-Qs, 8-Ks, S-4s, et cetera, et cetera.
But you're saying that you're going to provide less information to the public at the time that you're largely taxpayer-owned than before or after.
No, what I'm saying is we will be providing ample financial information to the public. This is a large responsibility on our part.
But ample is less than before, if I understand what I've read and what you're saying correctly.
Well, it would not be like we won't have 100-page submissions that we normally file to the SEC to the public. But we will be providing all the relevant data regarding our profitability, regarding our costs, regarding our cash flows. We will still be providing that type of information to the public.
And you used the term private company. That was in your original quote, and you said it again now, saying you are now a private company, no longer a public company, just at the moment that you're now being owned largely by the American public. It sounds downright Orwellian to the average ear. What are we supposed to think about your language?
Yeah, I think when I talk about a public company, it means a publicly traded company. When we become under government ownership and ownership of the UAW, we will not be publicly traded, and hence that's the definition of what a private company is. But we're going to be in a very, very unique situation because we're going to be owned by the American taxpayer, the Canadian taxpayer, the United Auto Workers, and the so-called old General Motors. So therefore, how we're going to operate is going to be very different than the normal private company.
Will there be any stat that a knowledgeable journalist or accountant could seek about General Motors finances in this new status that will not be available because you didn't have to disclose it to the SEC?
No, I envision that we're going to have good transparency in terms of our turnaround plans, our viability plans, what we're able to accomplish, our targets. So you will see me after every quarter talking about our financial results.
Is it at very least the way this public-private statement of yours has gone over in the press, another example of GM management being clueless and tone-deaf?
No, not at all. We're trying to be very, very transparent in terms of the fact that we're not going to be publicly traded, so we will not be an SEC filer. But we will be disclosing ample information regarding the financial condition of the company so that the American taxpayers and the American government will know about our financial performance.
These are technically taxpayer loans. What percentage of these loans do you predict the taxpayers will get back from GM?
Our objective is to provide an adequate return to both the American taxpayers and the Canadian taxpayers.
What's your projection? What can you pretty much promise us?
Well, I can't promise you anything. What I can promise you is the fact that we take this responsibility very seriously. That's point one. Point two, we have a plan which both the U.S. government and the Canadian government has looked at, and they believe it's very viable in order to turn around General Motors and make the new General Motors a company that can generate positive cash flows, positive profits, and provide an adequate return to the shareholders.
The economist Mark Zandi was here yesterday and predicted the public might not get back more than 50% of the loans. What's your prediction?
Well, I cannot provide predictions here. What I can assure you and the taxpayers is that our team is 100% committed towards effecting the turnaround to provide the return on investment to all the taxpayers.
I want to ask you about dealers in our area. We're interviewing today a dealer from Long Island who shut down voluntarily last week. He says his contract guaranteed that GM would buy back his inventory of cars and parts if he shut voluntarily, but now the company says that contract is null and void because you're in bankruptcy. Is that true, that contract provisions like that are now null and void?
Well, there's a legal process associated with Chapter 11 bankruptcy. What we're doing is that we're offering dealers who want to terminate the opportunity to accept what we call a wind-down or transition agreement, whereby we will help pay the dealers to help them sell down their inventory, to help them pay some of their rents, and do a what we call an orderly wind down of their operations. And that was the letter that we sent out on June 1, which I think most of the dealers received on June 2nd. And we're going to work with these dealers in order to help with this orderly transition.
So you're taking taxpayer dollars, but the local dealership in our community who you want closed is stuck with your product as their burden?
Well, with this transitional agreement, we will help the dealers with respect to selling down their inventory.
Help them how?
Pardon me?
Help them how?
By offering monies, transitional payments, to help them with the sell down of the inventory.
The Association of Minority-Owned Dealerships, and the dealer on Long Island who I was referring to is among them, says its members are facing extinction, and they use that word, because many minority-owned dealerships were last in, so they'll be the first booted out, and because many operate in lower-income areas, so they're more vulnerable, down already by half nationally compared to a few years ago, and sinking fast under the bankruptcies of GM and Chrysler. Do you accept those numbers of, you know, down to less than half nationally, and your reaction to the word facing extinction?
Clearly, this is a very, very difficult period for the dealer network. It's actually a very difficult period for everyone related to General Motors who have touch points to General Motors. We recognize that we have a responsibility to help smooth through the transition with the dealers. That's the reason why we're offering these termination payments.
Does GM have any responsibility to help minority dealers in particular avoid extinction as a group?
We have a responsibility to help all dealers around the country to manage through this process here. We clearly have a minority dealer development program. We've invested a lot in this program. We will continue to do that under the new General Motors. But in order for us to emerge as a viable new GM, unfortunately, we do need to reduce the size of our networks across the country. And even after we've gone through this restructuring of the network and we're down to 3,600 dealers, we will still be the largest dealer network in the United States and three times the size of Toyota's network in the United States.
Ray Young, Chief Financial Officer of General Motors, thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We recorded that interview with the Chief Financial Officer of General Motors, Ray Young, just before the program this morning. With me now is Greg Williams, the dealer I referred to, who owned Huntington Chevrolet for the last 10 years. He shut down the dealership last Friday. And Damon Lester, President of the National Association of Minority Automobile Dealerships. Greg and Damon, welcome both of you to WNYC.
Brian. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Greg, you heard that I put your situation, at least as I understand it, to GM's chief financial officer there. What'd you think of his responses?
There wasn't much of a response to the question that you gave. The bottom line is I sent my termination letter in on May the 26th to make sure that I got it in for the contract that we were on. And now I'm being told that that letter is null and void, and they sent a letter out this week called a wind-down letter where they give you some cash. But I have maybe $5 million worth of inventory there, and had $5 million worth of inventory that they were responsible to take away. And they're going to, what they're offering is less than $1 million. So where are you going to go with the rest of it?
So that's the aid that he's saying that the company is giving to dealers like you who have to shut down. That's 20% of the cost that you just stated, right? $1 million out of five. You think that's not enough?
Of course not. Where are we going to go with all those vehicles? And in my case, when I sent the letter out, I sent a copy to GMAC, and GMAC came out and got my inventory and took it. So I don't have the availability to sell my inventory, but I'm personally on the line for the inventory. So GMAC is telling me if they have to sell it and lose money on it, then I'm personally going to be responsible.
Wow.
Pay them back the difference.
That's awful. I feel terrible for you. So what are you going to do, Greg?
Brian, I don't know. And that's why I decided to come on this station, because there's no one to talk to. No one wants to hear what I have to say, and they just want me to go away. And I don't know what's going to happen. I've been a good GM dealer who did a decent job, but that doesn't seem to matter anymore.
Damon Lester, president of the National Association of Minority Automobile Dealerships. What can you say that might give Greg any comfort or material support, and how common is his situation?
It's actually widespread, more than we probably ever know, because, one, that General Motors has not disclosed, or nor will they disclose, the list of dealers that received those termination letters. That's one of the problems. Yesterday, during the Senate Commerce Committee meeting with the GM and Chrysler CEOs, yesterday the head of GM, Fritz Henderson, mentioned that 19% of minority dealers received termination notices. And which is significantly disproportionate, as there are only 4.9% minority dealers own General Motors franchises. So you have a representation of 4.9, and you terminate 20-25%. Now we're looking at a significant decline in our numbers, and that's what our issue is. The issue is with people like Greg, and Greg's mentioned about the winding down letters, is that the bankruptcies, Brian, allowed GM and Chrysler to hide, that they were hiding behind them to get away with the state franchise laws, which are the laws put in place to protect the dealer. Prior to filing for bankruptcy, Greg would be due exactly what he said, the cash that or his investment or whatever the case was in his specific franchise agreement, that he would be able to be compensated for terminating his dealership. Now that they filed bankruptcy, there is no protection for any GM or any Chrysler dealer under the Federal Dealer Day in Court Act, as well as the state franchise law. There's no dealer that owns a GM and Chrysler franchise are protected within those state franchise laws because they filed bankruptcy.
So, Damon, is there anything that your group is asking for from the government or anyone else? Do you want protection based on minority ownership status, given the devastating numbers that you've just cited and the disproportional impact, or based on anything else? I mean, it's hard to ask for car dealerships to be saved based on race of the owner.
Well, it's two things. One, we were asking that consideration be given to these dealers, that they are relieved from their personal liability as guarantors on floor plan and term loan.
Their personal liability on these loans. Like Greg said, he may be personally liable for the loans on these unsold vehicles, correct?
That's correct. And what that means is Greg has a debt of that he's owed GMAC. I think he just said $5 million. He has no vehicles to sell, therefore Greg is personally liable for that $5 million note. That we're asking to be relieved from, those dealers be relieved from that that liability. As the government has now funded over $50 billion or $100 billion between both the GM and Chrysler, that consideration needs to be given to these dealers who were selling and were doing the right thing and paying employees and servicing their communities. That is something that we definitely need to get addressed. The second piece was that for those dealers that have to sell off their parts and their special tools and their fixed assets, that the proceeds from that sale be given back to the dealer and not be given to pay off the debt so that the dealers can go away with some type of compensation. And at the end of the day, the working capital loans have been given to GM and Chrysler, but no consideration has been given to these dealers. And that's just has been a very unfair situation as we've been pushing members of Congress and even in the Senate now that the process has to be fair. And we're definitely requesting for that fair and reasonable compensation be given to the dealers.
Greg Williams, when you and I first spoke a few weeks ago, Huntington Chevrolet was still open, and you were hoping not to be one of those cut by General Motors, but in fact, you now, it turns out, are. Do you think it was fair? I mean, the company says that they're shutting down those dealerships who are selling the fewest cars, and that people in the Huntington area will have other places to go buy General Motors product now.
You know, Brian, do I think it's fair? They're not telling us what criteria they're using. In the press, they're saying that they're taking the poor-performing dealers. Well, we have 19 Chevrolet dealers on Long Island. Of the 19 Chevrolet dealers on Long Island, my dealership, Huntington Chevrolet, was number three in terms of retail sales for last year of 08.
So why you? If that's true, why do you think you?
That's a good question. I'll tell you why I think it's me. We are number three in sales, and we were number one in customer satisfaction of all the dealers. And they say if you satisfy your customers, you're going to grow down the road. Problem is, when I was recruited to come there 10 years ago, the dealership was in a poor location, and it was a terrible facility. I told GM that. That wasn't a good location or a good facility. And at the time, Peter Gerosa was the vice president of GM, and he was also the general manager of the Northeast region. And he said, hey, don't worry about that location or that facility. We're going to get you out of there and help you to get to another spot if you can make this thing work.
Mm.
I did my part. We looked for land and we looked for places, and it was so expensive on Long Island that GM never did help me to get a place because everything I got would have been too expensive. So now if they're saying that it's a facility problem or if it's a location problem,
yeah, then it's on them.
It's not my problem. As a matter of fact, they have the lease, and I'm subleasing from them.
Wow. I'm so sorry to hear this. And Damon Lester, before we run out of time, you're the one who told me a few weeks ago that you fear extinction of minority-owned dealerships. And I asked that question of the General Motors CFO when he was here just before you. But that's an explosive word. Do you stand by that today?
Absolutely. The next phase will be the lack of access to credit. As GMAC, or I think that bank is now called Ally, a dealer can't be a dealer unless they have a floor plan. In order to have a floor plan, you have to be able to apply to be able to get that type of a loan. At this point, the floor plan loans within banks and captives are very, very tight. And that is the next wave. And if a dealer misses one of its covenants, such as a working capital covenant, the banks are pulling dealers' floor plan loans.
And well, that's what happened. That's what they used with me. They wanted me to put in another $1.5 million in these kinds of times, and I told them I didn't have it. And so they told me that I no longer qualified for GMAC floor plan loan, and they were pulling the loan, and they were going to take their cars.
And Damon Lester, what was that stat you told me the other week about how many minority-owned car dealerships there were in the year 2000 and how many now?
2,100. And now there are 1,200 and shrinking.
Serious stuff. Greg Williams, what are you going to do now? You're looking to buy a Toyota dealership or something like that?
Right now, Brian, I don't know what I'm going to do because this is unprecedented. You know, in our contract, it said that if I did the voluntary termination, that they would buy the inventory and buy the parts. Well, now they're not going to buy the inventory and buy the parts. And I'm speaking to GMAC, and they're saying, hey, whatever we don't get, we're coming after you personally. So right now, I don't think I can buy anything. I'm going to come out of this thing in a terrible position.
Greg Williams, we're going to follow up with you, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Greg Williams, who owned Huntington Chevrolet for the last 10 years, he shut down the dealership last Friday. Damon Lester is president of the National Association of Minority Automobile Dealerships. Thank you.
Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.